Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. One verse this morning, verse 20. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's a short verse, but when you read the life of Isaac, you realize Isaac lived longer than Abraham or Jacob, and the least is said about him. So it's kind of in between, too. Abraham being the father of great nations and original covenant given to him, passed down through Isaac and Jacob. Jacob being the father of the Jewish nation, 12 tribes of Israel come out of Jacob. But Isaac was, you might say, a submissive faith that we read about, which is very unusual. He just did what he was supposed to do. Now, we've talked about Abel and his faith in offering a better sacrifice. Talked about Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and their fate. But we see a number of examples throughout the book. And Isaac, we know, was by faith Abraham offered him on the altar, and yet God intervened, and his life was not taken. But remember what was said by Isaac to his dad. He said, you know, we have the wood and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Well, God will provide a sacrifice. He had to understand when he was placed on the altar what it meant. It's one thing for Abraham to say, well, I'm going to trust God. This is a hard thing to give my son. But what did the son think? He is the one giving his life. Isaac willingly went to that altar. We have no indication of any struggle whatsoever. He must have believed the message God gave to his father Abraham. And think of the faith that would be required that, all right, Dad, if you want to offer me on this altar, I'm willing and I will do it. And I believe that I'll be raised again, just as you said. Dad, I'm trusting you. What faith it took to be submissive to his father. It's an amazing story. Isaac believed the word that was passed to him from Abraham and passed on and conferred to Jacob. The first 75 years of his life, he coexists with his father, Abraham. At age 60, he gives birth to Jacob and Esau. Abraham lives another 15 years after their birth. Isaac then dies at age 180. So we see the interaction of his father and his children and even beyond to the grandchildren. So in Hebrews 11, only one verse is given to this patriarch, the man Isaac. And there are certain things we see about him when you read other scripture about him that are very distinct. First of all, he was the son of promise. He was the child that was born that was the miracle child. Something about a couple that they can't have children or they struggle, there's issues or problems, and then somehow they're able to have a child. I've known some people in the past, they couldn't have a child. They went many, many years and they had a child and then they had another one after that. Not only did they get one, they got another one. So there's certain relief that, wow, God has opened the womb, and what a blessing. He was the child that was a miracle child because Abraham and Sarah were beyond childbearing years. And it was a covenant promise that God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He was then the recipient of that. So we see that it was a miraculous birth. It was the intervention of God that by which he was even born to come in to this world. And then, of course, the offering upon the altar of giving his life. He is now a young man, probably over 20 years old. He was not just a young child, a little boy, but probably over 20 years old. And they go to Mount Moriah, the place where ultimately the temple and tabernacle would be, or the temple would be established. So Isaac is offered on an altar, who is a picture of Christ giving himself for us, where you see the Father offering his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. It was a picture of that in the offering of Isaac. And then we read about the bride for Isaac. And I don't know if you are well-versed and studied that out, but it's quite a love story. Today is Valentine's Day. And we think about love and marriage and relationships. This was quite a relationship. Now, for all the young people looking toward that, you've not yet married. Someday, perhaps, you'll get married. And would you do it the way he did it? Say, Dad, would you send somebody out and go find me a wife? That's basically what happened. He sent the servant out and he gave him instructions, and a very particular instruction. And you need to do this. And he gave her some gifts and things and said, would you come and be the wife of my master? And think about Rebecca, that she went. Now, I don't know if she was desperate. She thought, wow, I'm 28 years old and I'm not married yet. Maybe I better jump on this opportunity. I don't know what she was thinking, but it was a testimony of the grace of God, how they followed the plan of God. He was just submissive to the plan of God. Now, isn't that faith also? Right. It was not a great miracle, but he was submissive to the plan of God. He did the plan of God. That is living by faith. Sometimes it's just obeying your parents is living by faith. Following those in authority is living by faith. Doing what you're told is living by faith. They sent out the servant and they found a bride for Isaac. And she lit off a camel, not a cigarette, but lit off a camel and came into his tent, and they became husband and wife. What a blessing that God provided a new couple to carry out the promise that God had made. The covenant was renewed through Isaac. So there is a beautiful picture, and it's a great study. Probably Isaac is about 36 years old. I think when your child's 36 years old, it's time for them to move out of the house. Don't you think so? And so he found a bride and established his own home. Then another aspect of Isaac, we see him digging wells. Five wells that he dug. There is something about a well that establishes a piece of property. Imagine moving or homesteading to a place and it's rough. Maybe you go to Canada and you say, I'm going to buy a piece of land in Canada and I'm going to homestead. And there's nothing there. It's just woods and moose. And there's nothing else there. And you're going to go homestead. You know the first thing that you really ought to do? Dig a well. Because if you don't have water, it may be a long haul to bring water into the house. It gives a sense of establishment, of permanence. It gives the idea that we're here and we're taking possession of this land. So he was a man that dug wells, established himself in that covenant. And then we see that one that is referenced in Hebrews chapter 11, Isaac blessing his sons. And particularly we think of Jacob, that Jacob really is the first Jew. So Abraham be the father of many people. And the truth is, half of the world are descendants in some way from Abraham. So you think about that. And all the people that lived before have died that were descendants of him. It's billions of people. Billions of people. For someone that thought he couldn't even have children. But through Hagar and Ishmael, You have the Arabs, and then you have all those descendants from Isaac. It's a large number of people. So Isaac determined he would give a blessing. I believe that blessing was a result of the covenant God had made. It was something he knew. I want this covenant to be fulfilled in my sons. I want them to carry on what God has for them. It was motivated not by intuition, not just out of love for his children. It was motivated by the word of God. That is faith. By faith, he saw the fulfillment of that covenant. Faith, we said, is merely obeying the word of God. It's hearing God, reading scripture and what he says, and following through with it. Whenever we obey God, that's living by faith. If we don't obey God, we're living by sight or by flesh. So we see those five things about this man, Isaac. His faith was in the word of God. He offered no resistance to be a sacrifice. In James chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son, Isaac his son, upon the altar?" He was not saved by offering his son, but his testimony of his faith, so men saw that his faith was real. We read of his faith and know it was real because he was willing to offer his only son upon the altar. So he was offered to be a sacrifice, offered no resistance, had belief in the word of God. Also, the promise was to be a great nation. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And verse number 8. Psalm 105, verse 8. "He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant." You see, the significance of this covenant goes all the way to you and to me. God had a plan of redemption.
Right.
He wanted all men to know the truth. They want to know why you're here, God's hand, God's purpose, how man can be brought back to him. It was all part of that covenant. We today understand we live in the new covenant, but there was grace in the Old Testament, not just in the new. We have a covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew also that there was a calling for them to be a special people, a peculiar people, a special nation that would promote the word of God, that would preach the word of God, that would tell other nations, here is the one true God. In Genesis 25, 23, "And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." There was a promise then that there are going to be two nations going two different directions, but the promise is going to be to this one group of people. They would be called out and used in a special way to be a testimony. This is an amazing thing because everybody that's Jewish is not saved. In that day, everyone who was Jewish was not godly. Everyone didn't follow the commandments. But that was God's plan. God had a purpose for every person. Just like today, everybody claims to be saved, not living for the Lord.
Right.
They're not a testimony. They're not a witness. And that day, that same was true. There were Jewish people, even leaders. They were not godly. They were not holy people. But that was God's plan. He was going to use this nation to be a testimony of his grace to reach others. And they'd be a peculiar people. Turn with me quickly to Romans 9. Turn quickly. Romans 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, and the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, it's not saying that God hated Esau in the sense he didn't like him, but the plan was he called Jacob to be the one that would be the progenitor of that godly seed, of that race. And we realize that that's where it came from. They had 12 sons. Jacob saw the beginning and establishment of a Jewish nation. And out of that, they possessed the land. We see over a period of time, they built the temple, they worshiped God. Under King David, we saw, and under Solomon, the prominence of the nation. People came in, they saw all that was going on. They said, I can't believe it, but they saw how the servants served. It was a testimony to the people of that day and to those Jews that scattered throughout that area. They were a testimony to the people of that day. So in that sense, God favored Jacob for carrying out this promise. They knew that. Isaac and Rebekah had to know this is the plan of God. So when it came to conferring the blessing, Isaac was going to bless Esau and give him a favored blessing. Yet, though he didn't understand, he was deceived by Jacob, he gave the blessing to Jacob, and that fulfilled what God had promised. It was the word of God. Sometimes, in spite of ourselves, God blesses us. And I believe Isaac accepted that was the plan of God. Now, I don't know why he forgot or why he thought that, but he wanted to pass on this blessing, and God made it happen to where he blessed the right one. The elder will serve the younger, and it went to Jacob. Now, that was just the omnipotent hand of God. He is a sovereign God. We don't understand why he wanted to choose Jacob over Esau, and he loved both of them, but he had a plan, and he sought, and there was a purpose behind choosing Jacob, and that was his sovereign decision. And so there was a call to be a peculiar people, and that was God's plan through the blessing of Jacob to be the father of that Jewish nation. So Isaac is blessing Jacob. He understood the plan for Israel. Back in Genesis 27, maybe we could just read a little bit about when this occurred. In Genesis 27, and verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So the intention was that would be Esau, but Jacob and his mother schemed and planned and made it look like Jacob was Esau. So through that deceiver or supplanter, as his name indicates, he deceived his father. And yet God used this for a purpose so that he would bless him. Now, I don't know how much power there was just in the words spoken by Isaac, but it was a confirmation of the plan of God. And that is exactly what happened. So there's an element of faith that Isaac understood. God wants to have a people for his name. He wants them to possess a land. There was a covenant by Abraham that was passed on to Isaac. And he believed it. That's why he's in the Hall of Faith. That's why he's in Hebrews 11. He wanted to pass on that plan that God had given. Going back to verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau's brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not received a blessing, reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. As we read that story, we see, first of all, Esau, this was not his first case of or first situation where he had a problem. He had a birthright, and whatever reason, he did not see the importance of that birthright, and so he sold it to his brother.
Right.
And why would he despise that birthright? It was so important. So there is an indication before we get to this point that God saw the importance of someone needs to recognize this is the most important thing. Carrying out that covenant, following my covenant to Abraham. And if they are not going to follow that, and I don't know if that came into the mind of a sovereign God or not, but it's evident that Esau despised his birthright, didn't see it as important. He seems to see this was important to receive the blessing, but didn't understand maybe the full levity of it. So as we see this blessing that Jacob gave, it was a purposeful decision that I want to carry out the promise that God gave to Abraham, my father. And it was to fulfill the commission to be a testimony to the nations around. And he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. Now that goes all the way to today. Do you realize that through the Jewish nation, through Jacob, through his children, through the lineage of Christ being born, we have a Savior that has blessed all the world. That every single person sitting here today, we're blessed going all the way back to that covenant God made. There was a promise that was kept and given and passed on until Christ came, who was a Jew, and all the early believers, Jewish people. Then it went to the Gentiles and is scattered all over the world. And all the nations are blessed. Aren't we blessed because of that? We're blessed people because of salvation, and it came through there. So he had the vision and the faith to see that. So every believer can be a child of God. Every believer can have true faith. We are all the sons of Abraham in that sense. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28 says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So there is a picture and a type. It's an amazing illustration that tells us this is the way the new Christian life is. We don't want to live after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That all is set as an example through this man, Isaac. So we need to just believe God. True. Just believe God. That's what God said. I believe it. Do we believe what the Bible tells us? Yeah, we just follow what God says. Think about this for a second. We've not been to heaven, yet we believe. We just heard a song about it. You know, we'll never grow old when we get to heaven. Amen? We read about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. We read about the miracles in the Bible. We believe it. We believe that one day we'll be with him. So Isaac, like our Savior, was a son of promise. He just believed God. He was it was a miracle in the way that he was born. He knew about that, and he saw the hand of God offered on a sacrifice. He believed God. He was a son of a resurrection. That we are also, in that same sense, believing God that someday we'll be raised again. Think about this. The Gospel of John describes for us a place. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. To somebody that's not saved, I don't think they believe that. But if a person is saved, we believe that. We believe, that someday we'll be taken to be in his presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, faith sees things not yet revealed by sight. Right. It's the evidence of things not seen. The world's saying is, seeing is believing. But the Christian says, believing is seeing. We believe it and we see what can be and will be. Also, it is an act that it is the acting on faith. It is obedience to the faith that pleases God. The Bible says it's impossible. We read this already in verse 6, Hebrews 11. It is impossible to please him without faith. So we are pleasing him as we live a life of faith. Isaac's life was full of a lot of failures and struggles, but his name is recorded of the heroes of faith because in spite of his failures, he believed God. That's why his name's there. He believed God. He just obeyed God. And faith may be submissive, and that's why we indicated this is really the theme of the life of Isaac. His faith was a submissive faith. He did not initiate anything on Mount Moriah. That was God's doing, and he followed the advice of his father. It was a submissive faith. And everything he did was a submissive faith in God and in his word. And real faith is tested. If you say you can do something, all right, let's see it. Follow through with it. That's where, as they say, the rubber meets the road. Right. Now, everybody can say, you know, sometimes a young kid will say, you know, I'm going to hit a home run. I'm going to knock it over the fence. And you know, you look at them, they're scrawny. There's no way they're going to do that. It's all talk. They can't do it. Now, maybe if they worked at it, maybe they did some weightlifting or got older, maybe they could then. But, you know, real faith follows through. It's an operational faith. That's what it says about Abraham being justified by his works. His faith was manifested. It was real. And so real faith, just like Abraham offered his son, Isaac willing to be offered, was an operational faith. Are you living by that kind of faith, that whatever it is God wants you to do, you just do it. You just figure it out, all right, I'm going to follow through with it. And when you do, sometimes there's a test along the way. Not so easy. You know, it's not, you know, in basketball, our teams are playing this week. Nice relaxing evening last night. And they play again this week. Now, it's real easy to sit out there and shoot and hit a basket if you work at it, but it's a lot different when you have a defense. It's not the same when you got somebody standing in your face. It's real easy for a parent to give advice to someone how to rear their children if you don't have any. But let that little kid start kicking you in the shin and crying and screaming, and then see how it goes. See, real faith is a statement of obedience. It's tested, but you follow through. Abraham's faith was tested, as was Isaac's. He had to be willing to go to that altar. And his faith is tested whenever he blessed Jacob. It was God's doing to oversee that whole situation so that he blessed the right one. And sometimes faith is most prevalent whenever there's defeat. Sometimes when it seems like we failed, that's where God is most evident. You see, you know, and this is sort of a simple thing, but there have been times where I thought, boy, that was not the best message. You know, I struggled giving that message, and I just think, oh, boy, God forgive me. Heaven's flag flew half-mast on that one. It was not very good. And on the way out, somebody says, preacher, thank you so much. I needed that. That was just what I needed. See, that's the grace of God. That is God's doing. I remember the story of a preacher. He just starting out, and he started preaching on the prodigal son, and he couldn't remember the names of the two, the older brother and the younger son, and so he just said, then Bill, and he just gave him some name that he knew, and it came to his mind, and then John, you know, and he went through that whole message, and not realizing they're unnamed, but he just gave them those names, and somebody came forward and got saved, whose name happened to be Bill, who happened to be a prodigal. And you see, sometimes we see, even in defeat, God uses those situations. Sometimes it's just humbling ourselves, and it's the act of God. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and they have nowhere to go. They've got mountains on one side. They've got the enemy from behind, the Egyptians, and the water in front of them. Now it's when God begins to work. Now God opened the water. It was a miracle how God fed them and gave them manna from heaven and gave them meat and flesh out in the wilderness and water from the rock. And over again, they were humbled. And that's why they were in the wilderness, to learn it is God that does it. It's not us being powerful. Sometimes I'd like to be like Elijah. Just, God, bring fire down from heaven and consume the altar. I mean, you know, there's power in that. Boy, look at what I've done. But so many times it's through our humility, through our trial, God intervenes and God does something we cannot do. When I was in those teen years and rebellious and living like the world, my mother tried to talk to me, and then my father tried to talk to me. My father said, if you keep living like this, you're going to kill your mother the way you're acting. And you know, none of that did any good. Their effort failed, but their prayers were heard. And just through a series of events and circumstances, God began working. And through the lack of Purdue understanding talent in the basketball team, I ended up leaving the team, going to play at a Christian college, and got saved. You know, it wasn't their power, it wasn't their mind, but it was their humble prayers that God began working. Sometimes faith shines in defeat. And faith accepts every situation permitted by God, that it's his way of accomplishing his purpose. We see that in Isaac blessing Jacob rather than Esau. That God sometimes allows things to happen. It's not the way we would plan it or construct it, but yet God works through those situations. Sometimes I go around and speak at different places, I'll ask people, how many people here are doing today what you thought you'd be doing when you're in high school. Almost no one raises their hand. You know, there are things that you're, certainly that'd be true of me, and I think we took a little canvas of the crowd this morning, we'd probably find that true again. But God has a way of guiding and directing us into certain things. And we just have to accept those situations. There are certain things that we would not choose that they would happen. Could be the death of a loved one. It could be an illness, a disease that comes along the way. For Fanny Crosby, blind at an early age, yet God had a purpose behind it. Faith accepts whatever our situation might be. And faith is most keen at the end of life. Genesis 27:1, we read that Isaac was old, feeble, blind, yet he could see him who is invisible. His faith was in his God. He had a vision of faith. Blind, yet seeing, that is the vision of faith. Cannot see it physically, but spiritually he could see it. As Abraham left and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, that was passed on to Isaac. And he followed through by seeing, though he physically could not see. Faith sees things. I remember someone asked a preacher about ministry and the work that had been done, and they said, did you ever believe that all these things would happen? And the preacher said, I've been praying every day that God would do these different things. And he could see, this is what I'm working toward. This is God, what he wants done. And that is the vision of faith. And I think the longer you live by faith, the more keen that faith becomes to know one day that faith will lead us into glory. In conclusion, we see that Isaac blessed his sons. Isaac took time to meditate on the Lord. Isaac prayed. He walked with God and was blessed by God. All these in the book of Genesis revealed for us. Hebrews 11:20 says he blessed his sons. And he died as part of the covenant where if God identified himself through Scripture, and you read this several times, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He became part of that reference. So the Jewish nation, they identified their God by the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is a God that I serve. And hopefully others will see your faith and want to serve the same God that you serve. That is living by faith. Let's bow for prayer.